Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, you're Lynn.
Hey.
Me and Nathan are brothers, Lynn's related somehow. We read comics.
I didn't know how's it going.
Dude, that's not your voice.
I am a little under the weather, so my voice is going to be a little sexier this week, but... Yeah, I'm a bit sick.
I think it's when you get bassy, that's when it really shines through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But we have Lynn.
How's it going?
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah,
no problem. Excited to do it. Talk a little Flash.
Yeah, another official episode of the podcast. Every other one's a filler until we get Lynn back.
It's the second episode.
Yeah, this is the second episode.
I'm a officially. Veteran. I feel like a...
Were you like our first guest?
I think I was.
I think so, yeah.
Is...
Surprised I don't
I forgot the book that we did with you.
It was Cosmic Ghost Rider, right?
Yep. Right, but that felt so long ago.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, good test run as a guest.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Obviously, I did well. I'm back.
Yeah. We want you back.
We'll give you a second chance.
There's tons of guests we've only had on once. If that tells you anything.
If you're listening on any kind of podcast platform, remember to give us a little 5-star review. Gives us helps out somehow. I think.
Probably.
Yeah, all our links are in our bio for our socials. Go like, follow, subscribe.
Exactly.
We got different time codes that you can find in our description for different parts of the pod. We got the book, Back Matter Matters, the poll list, but we start with the new.
What news you got for us, Lynn? What have you heard? It's been fresh.
I don't know if it's news. It was news to me. Obviously, we went to Comic-Con this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I attended a Sandman panel.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if you guys are into Sandman, but read the comic, watched the show. So the panel's just a bunch of old heads. I didn't realize how old Sandman was. But two things they dropped on me. So one, I didn't realize Sandman was in the DC universe. Like, I didn't know that was the same.
You read the book, right?
Well, I've read some comics. Of the comics. I obviously didn't read far enough.
Well, the Justice League was in like the fourth
issue something or like something, that.
But yeah, they weren't like a big part of it.
In Sandman?
I thought you got kind of far, yeah.
Shit. I don't recall that at all. So that was a surprise to me. Also, they told me that when Lucifer lost the battle with, forgot his name, but anyways.
God, I can't remember.
The show Lucifer is actually what Lucifer went to do after losing that battle. So that
loosely
kind of blew my mind.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just kind of the idea, you know. Yeah.
Kind of made me want to watch it. I still haven't started though.
Sophie loves it.
It's a tough watch.
It is a tough watch. First episode.
It's another like ABC thing.
You know, apparently it gets very good around season 4. It apparently got canceled and then like. Fan outrage brought it back for like one last season on Netflix. So if that tells you anything, people were passionate about it. So, but I guess people are also passionate about like Grey's Anatomy and stuff. Yep. Not saying it's a bad show or anything.
Yeah.
Because those are very passionate fans, but you know.
Either hates Grey's Anatomy.
You know, I've never watched it on purpose.
Nathan, Andy Muschietti has been tapped to direct James Gunn's Batman movie, The Brave and the Bold.
Who's that?
He is the director of the It movies.
Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good.
I enjoy those.
Yeah, so like a horror director to
do
Batman.
I've only seen the second one.
You've only seen the second one?
I've only seen the second one.
You just skipped the first one.
I get it.
The first one's far superior.
But the second one has Bill Hader in it.
It does. Is that why you watched it?
No, I think we went to go see it in theaters, and they're like, have you seen it? And I was like, yeah. And I watched that one. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
J. Michael Straczynski, who's at Comic-Con, our Phoenix Comic-Con, is going to write the new Captain America with Jesus Saiz, who's most recently just wrapped up on The Punisher. And I think he's a sick artist, so I'm pretty excited for that. That's pretty cool.
Good for
him. It's going to be out in September.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
He's mostly famous
for Spider-Man stuff, you know.
Didn't he write... Some like Watchmen before Watchmen, like he did Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan one, yeah.
Nice.
So he's got some chops. I think he's been doing some TV stuff for a little bit, but yeah, he's back. He's doing Cap, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And Daniel, Superior Spider-Man is returning.
Yeah.
which is so weird because we were just talking about that last week or 2 weeks ago for people listening. But yeah, it's going to be Dan Slott. He's coming back. We don't know the artist yet. That's all we know.
Cool. He didn't do the first one, did he?
One he did with Stegman.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
What else we got?
Lynn, you got anything else?
Nope.
Nathan, writer W. Maxwell Prince of The Ice Cream Man, Ice Cream Man.
Yep.
He's coming out with a new book on July 5th called Swan Songs from Image Comics.
Oh, we're going to miss that.
Featuring
that new Comics Day, aren't we? Because we're going to be on vacation.
No, because we leave on a Friday and come back on a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be good.
We'll be good. All right, cool.
But it's another anthology formula where it's each issue is a different story.
Okay.
I think he's doing it with different artists.
It's a horror anthology?
Maybe.
Okay.
The first one's with Martin Simmons. And the concept was it's just the different stories about things ending. You know, one might be about the world ending and one might be about someone's life ending. You know what I mean? So it's got that kind of theme.
Interesting.
So
that's depressing.
Maybe. Did Ice Cream Man end?
I don't know. I never picked it up. But it's supposed to be a horror book, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I read the first trade.
Okay. Interesting. Gene Simmons from Kiss. Big comic book fan.
Definitely. In comics.
He's in comics. He was in this. They make a bunch of Kiss comics for some reason, which is crazy. We read one called Kiss Zombies, way better than it deserves to be.
So good.
It's actually quite sick. He said this week that comic book saved his life. That's all I know about it because I just read the headline. But
so if
no
there's
wonder,
no comic books, there'd be no Kiss?
If there's no comic books, there'd at least be no Gene Simmons. So
didn't read on? How'd they save his life?
He probably just likes him and got him through a bad time. Hold on, I can pull it up. He was born in Israel, couldn't speak English very well. At about 8.5 years of age, comic books basically saved my life in a way that even television or certainly school couldn't do it. Just open up the imagination of this kind of fantasy world where people can do extraordinary things. Nobody's ordinary. Everybody's extraordinary. Cool. Oh, he's making a new comic book called Dominatrix. Oh, why didn't they put that in the title?
Nice. That's pretty cool.
All right. Hot news. He's writing it. It's based off a story by Gene Simmons with scripts by Holly Interlandi. Don't know who that is. And art by S.L. Gallant from G.I. Joe. And that's pretty cool. We don't know much about it yet, but that's cool. God, I like that band more because they are so involved in comics.
Yeah, now they're making comics.
What I should have been hunting for. I didn't know what I was hunting for at this con. I should have just looked for every Kiss comic. Just have a whole Kiss long box or short box or any comics I make. That'd be really funny. That's all the news I have, though.
There's a Switch game called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah.
And
it's a multi-platform game.
Multi-platform? Yeah. Okay. So there's DLC coming that has Usagi Yojimbo.
No way.
As a playable character.
That dude, I saw Usagi Yojimbo cosplay today or last week.
Really? That's sick. Was it good?
It was super good.
What was the head? Was it like
it was like a huge paper mache thing. And I was like, Usagi. And then he didn't hear me at first. And I'd be like, Usagi. And he came up to me and he went did something weird. I don't know. He made with some pose and it made me really happy.
Nice. You didn't take a picture with him?
No, he was across the street. We were leaving already. It was unfortunate timing.
I bet no one recognized him at the con. No. But as he's leaving, you're like, Usagi. Just made his day. Yeah. Saved his day.
I'm sure a bunch of the comic people, vendors and stuff would know. But no, I don't think most people know who Usagi Yojimbo is.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sounds funny.
He's a samurai rabbit. And he's done many crossovers with TMNT.
Usagi means samurai, and then Yojimbo means rabbit. So that's just sense. We have a whole episode on it. You can watch it. It's really good. Anyway, let's get into the book this week, Nathan and Lynn. What did we read, Lynn?
Flashpoint.
By who?
By Geoff Johns.
Let me some Geoff.
Some Geoff Johns.
I like Geoff better. That's more... That's a little more
I think it can be pronounced Geoff.
That's dumb. Geoff.
Geoff.
Geoff. Okay. Enunciate every letter.
And then also pencilers Andy Kubert.
Yeah. Isn't he at Comic-Con?
Adam Kubert was, and I think Andy Kubert's a different person.
Isn't there another one?
No.
Like Sam or something?
No, you made that up.
Jason?
Jason Kubert?
There's another one.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
Just Google how many Kuberts are there.
I wonder how many comics went up to him and he's like, I didn't do this.
This is my son or whatever. Yeah, I think it's a father-son thing. I can't remember though. So Andy Kubert, also Andrew Kubert. He's the one that did this.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Kubert did Batman versus Predator, which apparently was an Eisner Award-winning comic. I did not know that. That's pretty cool. Joe Kubert. I think that's who you're thinking of.
Yeah, probably.
Interesting.
Anyway, also with inker Sandra Hope and Jesse Delperdang and colorist Alex Sinclair.
I always thought it was Flashpoint Paradox. Am I crazy?
That's the animated movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're basic.
I was in the middle of reading this. And I was like,
they even say Flashpoint Paradox like at the end, you know?
Yeah, which I know, but this book is so big. We've never done a Flash book because we were just waiting for the Flash movie to come out. We weren't even sure if it was happening.
Yeah, at the beginning of this podcast, we're like, oh, the Flash movie will come out soon.
Yeah, you know? And so we waited. So we haven't read a single Flash thing. This is probably the best.
Almost 170 episodes later.
Yeah, 170 weeks. We
held out. Finally coming out.
Yeah. So we haven't read anything Flash related. This is probably his most popular story. It's in like, they sell it at like Walmart and shit now. So pretty popular. And God damn it, I love this book. It's such a good one, such an iconic thing. It set up the new 52, which is trivial for a lot of people, but I like it because that's when I got into comics. So.
Yeah. Lynn, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, for me, I enjoyed it. So I read mostly Marvel. So I wasn't familiar with like all the background on the Flash. So starting this with him not understanding like why things are the way they are, I didn't even know like, well, how are they supposed to be? So I felt like I was just as confused, but no, I thought it was awesome. It was a great arc. Great. The finish was like
top tier.
Mint.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the artwork, badass. The writing was badass. Everything was great about it.
Yeah. This is definitely in like the Geoff Johns prime era for sure. Yeah,
this is like in his Hall of Fame, you know.
Yeah, right in the middle of when he's doing Green Lantern stuff, which I love, and then he jumps right into like the Aquaman New 52, a couple other things as well. So, big fan of this.
Yeah, this has really great pacing, and I was surprised how much I like remembered after like maybe not reading this for like 5+ years.
Yeah.
You know, just like I don't know, just the things that there's not like a lot of fluff in it. You know, like everything that happens or most of the things that happen are like really important to this story to move forward. And then you just think about this whenever you're in like the new 52, you know? And so
Daniel's going to be taking lead on this one because my voice is a little fucked up.
Yeah, you sound like shit.
Yeah, I do sound like shit. I'm going
to have to listen to your ass for like hours after this.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not as much because you're going to be reading this and I'm going to take the Daniel spot today.
Are you just going to interrupt me?
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt you. Make you lose your train of thought. I'm getting revenge today, essentially.
Oh no. Oh, no, I gotta.
Nope, no problem. Whenever you're ready.
Hey, I edit this. Get out of my face.
No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, so we got just kind of a couple intro pages to like Barry Allen showing like his like origins, you know, with the lightning and whatnot, shit about his mom, and then you see just a splash page of him running on some water. And how do we feel about these boots? Because I think they're ridiculous.
Okay. This is a good point. They do look like rain boots.
They are probably not great for running.
Yeah. I do love this Flash design. I think when they do too much with like the electric accents, it just kind of turns me off a little bit.
Oh, I always like that.
I'm not a big fan of like the DC like live action Flash costume.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're doing a little too much. I like the simplicity. But you know what? I'm okay with these boots. They don't look like running shoes at all, but I still like them.
Yeah, I don't hate the boots, honestly. I think they kind of like go well with kind of what he's got going on. I like the boots work, and they're very appropriate for the current situation. They look like rain boots.
Yeah,
stomping
yeah.
in the water.
He's prepared.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to run that fast in wet boots.
But if you look at like feet. If you look at everybody else's shoes, there's like a big double page where he's like running or flying with everybody. Funny enough, you can't see most people's feet. It's apparently a thing that artists don't like to draw feet because then you have to like make them line up with like the ground or whatever. So they do their best to like hide feet. And you could definitely see that here.
You see Superman's feet.
Yeah, that's like the only person's feet you can see. And there's not much going on there. These aren't like boots. It's just like it's basically like he's wearing a sock.
Yeah.
So at least they tried something with the Flash shoes. Anyway. Oh, God. Okay.
Our famous segment, Who the Fuck Is That? Nathan, we got a Flash family.
Oh, fuck. I knew this was going to happen, too.
Absolutely. I was going to do the Justice League one. We all know that shit.
Okay. All right.
So who we got here?
This is our segment where Daniel doesn't know who somebody is, and so he asks me because he assumes I know.
I know a lot of stuff.
Okay. In the front, we have the Flash.
Which one?
To his left, we have the Flash.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Front Flash, Barry Allen. Flash to his to my on the left from our perspective, his right.
I don't care about his perspective.
Okay. to the left of him is Wally West Flash. That's when he became the Flash. He was not Kid Flash anymore. We have Jay Garrick to his right, and then it gets a little fuzzy for me. I think one of them is Impulse all the way on the left, okay. And then I think the girl that's above Flash is Sally Quick.
Jesse Quick,
yeah, that works great too. And then I don't know who the rest of these people are.
Yeah, they don't even look like they're fast.
Yeah, they just look like they're struggling to keep up, if anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know who everybody else is. But there's a whole ass Flash family, Daniel.
Well, that was a good try, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Barry Allen, he wakes up from a nice little nap at work. Who doesn't like one of those? His boss comes barging in, talking about needing some evidence to put Citizen Cold in jail. As for evidence for a murder. And he's like, Citizen Cold, who the fuck is that? You mean Captain Cold?
Yeah.
The villain? And he's like, who's Captain Cold? And so he gets all confused and he runs down the stairs and tumbles down. And who's there at the bottom? It's his mom.
She's dead. She's not supposed to be there.
Nora Allen, I think.
And he's like, you're here. Yeah. And she's like, it's my birthday. Of course I'm here.
Yeah.
I love that confusion because that's such a massive misunderstanding.
Yeah, you just jump straight into it. Yeah.
I think Johns is really good at having us like sort of unravel what's going on.
Mm.
Obviously, this is like a big one. We typically, you know, that the Flash's mom is dead and was murdered. And so when she pops up in here, it's like, oh, well, something's definitely not right then, because this is like the one thing.
Right.
It's like if Uncle Ben came back, you know, so.
And when he's like falling down the stairs, he notices that his ring is gone. His ring that holds his outfit. Because that makes sense. And
that's always the most campy thing about Flash is that how does he get it in there?
I think his boots might be the most campy thing.
No, well, yeah, that's fair. But how does he get the whole suit in there and his boots? Those boots did not seem very...
Vacuum sealed, Nathan.
I guess so. Suck it out like it's a mattress.
Yeah. So we cut over to Gotham, I think.
Yeah.
And we see one of the best Batman designs
easily
ever. We see a mystery Batman. We don't know what's wrong with this universe. Hopefully it's Bruce Wayne, but we'll see. We'll find out. He's swinging about. He's chasing a villain Yo-Yo, which is really coolly depicted in like the animated series. She does like some Yo-Yo tricks and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, I liked that part. Yeah. Did you see the Flashpoint animated movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that one's a really good one.
It's a lot of just this, but they add some stuff.
Yeah. It's fairly one-to-one. They leave out a couple things, but yeah, it's a really good, I think, representation. But
and so
I like this chase scene, too. Like I like that he leaves room so that you can kind of get a feel for the universe rather than just like having to explain like a lot of what's going on or whatever through like dialogue. Like we know that Batman doesn't normally kill people, but he tries to kill Yo-Yo. And so we're like...
Pushes her off the building.
Yeah, we're like, that's a little weird.
And then you have like the Wayne casinos. It's like,
it's like, ooh, that doesn't seem right.
Weird.
Yeah. I didn't even catch that, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I initially like, again, not knowing what was going on here. I thought this was like Bruce Wayne, Batman. And I'm like, what the hell? Like,
yeah. He's really hardcore.
He's having a bad day. And then when he pushed her off the building, I was like, oh wow, this is going to be dark.
This is a skin in Arkham City that you can put on. You can put on the Flashpoint Batman costume.
Nice.
And it was the one I had on all the time. Because the eyes glow and shit, too.
Eyes
really cool.
Are red. Red logo. Pointy shoulders.
Very cool. Pointy shoulders is awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, but after Yo-Yo's pushed off the building, Cyborg is there to save her and catches her. And he follows after Batman, and he's asking Batman to join a team in order to... help out against the Atlantean and Amazonian war that is going on currently.
Yeah, so pretty much this version of like a Justice League.
Yeah.
And there's some weird ass characters in here. Some of them are original.
Like what? No, original to this like story?
Yeah. Blackout, he's the guy in like the ski mask. That's an original John's Kubert character.
Yeah, and they everyone knows Blackout now because of this.
They wanted to do more with him, I guess. They say it in like the back matter, but they never got the chance to. So I wonder what the plans were there. We also see all seven kids from Shazam.
Six,
whatever. Except each of them, instead of Billy Batson being like all of the traits of like Shazam with like Zeus and whatever H's. They're each like a different god. It's like an acronym, right?
Hermes.
So, Hermes, yeah. They each are one of those.
Yeah.
And then they all like fucking form like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers into Shazam.
Into like Thunderman or something.
Yeah, Thunderman. also the tiger, Talking Tawny, who is like a normal Shazam character. He's there. He's just hanging out. So we also have the Outsider. We have Enchantress, and that's all.
Sandman's there.
Piper. Sandman's there. Sorry, I just found the double page. Pied Piper. Green Lantern's there, but it's Abin Sur, which is pretty cool. Captain Cold or Citizen Cold. Element Woman. I don't know who the ginger dude is, but he's got a vest.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a part of the Secret Seven. I don't know who he is, though.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Then this character was the Sandman like prior to Neil Gaiman's Sandman, and he was like a detective.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So quite a makeover.
Yeah, they definitely
with the emo Sandman.
Yeah, his whole continuity is super weird, I feel like.
But anyway, it is a little hard. You got this down.
Yeah.
Barry's going on with his day with his mom, and he goes to work and just sees he goes to Iris West's work. And just sees all these things different. She's got a different boyfriend, you know, and just little things about the world. And so in order to find some answers, he goes to the Batcave and for Thomas Wayne to find him and be like, who the hell are you? And he's like, Bruce, stop. And he just kind of figures out that this Batman is Thomas Wayne because Batman said Bruce is dead.
Yeah, which is a really cool reveal. I think it's very well done because, you know, you can tell how brutal this Batman is because he's just immediately throwing Barry around. Just this man that like can't defend himself really. And then like you see how he's kind of taken back when he tries to call him Bruce because obviously he doesn't tell a whole lot of people about Bruce probably. So very, very good pacing up to that reveal.
Yeah, so it's revealed that in Crime Alley that night, Joe Chill had shot Bruce instead of Martha and Thomas, and so that led Thomas Wayne onto a crusade but is also very violent about it.
Yeah. Also, Martha ends up becoming the Joker. There's like a spinoff Flashpoint comic that's supposed to be very cool. I don't think I've read that one either.
Very good, yeah. I have it, actually, by Brian Azzarello.
Yeah, I think I've only read the Green Lantern one, like the spinoff one. Okay. And that one was by Jeff Lemire.
Which is pretty cool. That one was good.
Yeah.
Issue two, we got Deathstroke. He's a pirate, which is pretty fucking sick.
I do like that idea a lot.
He's got Clayface on his boat. And I think that's like Tempest or like Aqualad as like they're basically their sonar that they're using to track the waters.
Yep.
And they find themselves in Paris that has been flooded and by the sea, you know, and Aquaman and Ocean Master are on their boat and they kill everyone aboard. And so they're just hunting everybody like on the seas, just making it cleared out.
Yeah. I really like this, just the scale of when we see like the Eiffel Tower just pretty much like sunk, because there's like a huge boat obviously in comparison, but he like manages to fit like the whole Eiffel Tower like tip in there, and it's just a really cool panel.
Just the tip.
Yeah, just he's like, well, he fits more than the tip, Daniel. A little bit of the shaft as well. Just none of the base. Aquaman looks a little bit different. I think his design's very intentional, like they gave him like the whole like crew cut, buzz cut, whatever you call that. Seems more militaristic
than
like his normal like kind of Superman-esque kind of hair, or sometimes he has long hair, who knows, but I think it's very intentional there, which is kind of cool. And he's red.
I think it's just the lighting.
He's definitely, his costume's red.
Yeah, a lot of red in this.
Yeah.
Red means evil. And so Back to the Batcave. Barry Allen just keeps getting his ass whooped, and he keeps trying to like convince Thomas Wayne that he is like of a different universe, a different timeline, and somehow just like gets him to like believe him.
Yeah.
And he somehow, I don't know where this comes from, but the Reverse Flash ring just pops out.
Yep.
And bounces on the ground, and he opens it and the Reverse Flash costume pops out.
Yeah. And you're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's implied because earlier it shows the Reverse Flash like running by his mom and saying like, nice to see you alive.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the Reverse Flash also just dropped that ring just to troll him and like,
yeah,
let him know he's there. So
he's pretty paranoid. Like he knows that Reverse Flash could be in the room without him knowing.
Yeah.
You know,
also I like that Barry gets like one punch in on Batman and then he immediately gets thrown through a desk. like he tries to like, you know, kind of stop him. And then he's just like so brutal that he gets thrown through. I also like this plot element of his memory, like slowly reverting back to like this world's Barry's memory. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting plot element.
Yeah,
you don't really see when someone's thrown into another dimension or whatever.
Yeah, probably could only be in like comics, you know, to kind of represent that and not be cheesy. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, he's like forgetting his old timeline and his memories are being replaced with these new ones.
Yeah,
like a whole life, you know.
Yeah,
and so he thinks that in order to become the Flash again, he needs to go on the roof and, you know, recreate the event that made him the Flash and have all the chemicals around him and stuff.
Give him a little zap.
Yep, and get electrocuted. And he gets struck by lightning, and he is fucking burnt to a crisp.
And the book ends there.
Yep, that was Flashpoint.
Yeah, that was such a good book.
That's why you don't go back in time, kids.
Yeah. Dude, he is fucked up at the end here. Like, head to toe, fourth degree burns. He made a whole new category. And it's pretty crazy.
There's also a side note where the Amazonians have taken over London and made a new Themyscira.
Yeah.
For some reason. I imagine something happened to the original island, you know, being in the middle of the ocean.
Probably, yeah. Probably been a bit drowned.
Yeah.
But I just like this idea of like Atlanteans and Amazons fighting.
Which would be like the scariest war.
It would be super scary. Also, just like makes the most sense because they're like the two kind of groups that have like their own army.
Yeah.
And so I think that I'm surprised it took this long to explore this idea.
You know, right.
Whether it happened before in some Golden Age comic for like one issue, you know, I'm not sure, but I like that it's being fleshed out here. There's clear like war objectives and like strategic bases and stuff that they're trying to get. Super cool.
Now, did you guys read the Wonder Woman spinoff?
No.
So that kind of breaks down like all of it, how we got here. And like, long story short, Wonder Woman meets Aquaman. They fall in love. They want to get married. Mm-hmm. People in their camp don't want that to happen. And essentially, I think it's Aquaman. Is it his brother, the guy with the fins on his head?
Ocean Master.
Yeah. Ocean Master conspires with Wonder Woman's aunt to try and kill Wonder Woman at the wedding. But she's wearing the armor of an Atlantean. So it appears like they attack. So then that's when they start battling each other. And like Aquaman sinks Themyscira to the bottom of the ocean. So
drama.
Then Wonder Woman goes over to Europe and she shows up and she's like, hey, we just need a place to stay. We're going to set up camp here. They're like, nope. She's like, okay, we're going to invade. Just takes it over. So now Aquaman starts flooding Europe. And when that happens, I can't remember the name of the character, but she ended up like pulling the UK up out of the ocean like a mile to protect it from the flooding, and that was like new Themyscira.
So it's like floating?
Wow. I don't know, like, because like once it's up once it's up there, like it's not, he's using some
tectonic plates.
Yeah, well, there's a guy that's his power, like, and this is his sister holding up the UK, but the guy that Aquaman captured, he like tricked him and got him to come with him, but he like, his power is he can like affect tectonic plates, and he's put him in this tube that he's shooting his power at the tectonic plates and essentially just wrecking Europe.
Wow. And the Atlanteans are sitting there like, shit, we didn't think about this.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
So,
can I make a tsunami that big? I don't know.
But yeah, and that's kind of what this whole thing Cyborg's trying to do. He's trying to make that stop because from their perspective,
It'll just make everything
the
blow up.
Atlanteans and the Amazons are like vying for power, and they're just not going to stop. Either they're going to destroy the world in the process, or one's going to win and continue just taking over the world.
Interesting. So that's why there's a big earthquake at the end of the book.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. In the movie, it's like a big atom bomb.
So, well,
it's, which is like Captain Atom being right. used for power, and then he like explodes.
They change stuff to make it like less complicated.
Yeah, that's definitely a very comic book concept that you just described.
And it always goes so poorly. Like, that sounds sick.
Yeah, like I follow that, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Because like, I think like Wonder Woman kills Mira because like Wonder Woman thought that Mira was like the one going to like assassinate her at like that wedding or something.
Yeah,
Mira, is that Wonder Woman's aunt?
No. Mira is like the love interest for Aquaman.
Normally.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay, so during that spinoff, after all this happened, so you have like the Amazons, or this is before they flooded Europe, but the Amazons are just in the UK, and Mira like conspired to sneak up and kill Wonder Woman. But as part of that, Wonder Woman killed Mira and then started wearing her helm as a warning to anyone else that would come. But then that, like,
it's a cold move. Yeah.
At that point, like, Aquaman was still like, I need to talk to Wonder Woman and work this out. Like, something's going on. Like, we didn't intend to attack them. They seem to be attacking us. Like, there's something at work here. So Aquaman was trying to work it out. But after that, gloves were off.
Yeah.
He was like, sink it. So that's when they flooded Europe and they had to pull the UK up out of the ocean.
Definitely
so.
A big dick move to like wear the helmet after too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my trophy.
So issue 3, we see Cyborg and he is listening to like a message that he got from Obama.
President, yep.
Yep. In an alternate timeline, Obama is also the president.
He still won in 2008 whatever it was.
Which is cool because I think this came out in 2011. So he would have been his first term.
It's always interesting to see.
You think they would just do like Mitt Romney or whatever, like, you know, just some other person.
Oh, and this one, the Republicans won that year.
Yeah.
That election. That's funny. Like, it's always interesting to see if they put in the president like for real, because Marvel always puts in like a silhouette and they're like, Mr. President or whatever. And you like never see him. But this one is very clearly Obama, you know? So I think that's interesting.
So Obama had asked for him to make that super team. And we go over to Flash in. Just groveling in pain, is completely burnt, 3-degree burns all over his body. And he's like, let's do it again.
He's like, shit, didn't work.
Yeah, he's like, this time it'll definitely work, probably.
That's such a desperate move. Like, you ever try and like fix something and it doesn't work, and so you just do the same thing again? You're like, maybe it'll work this time. The
definition of insanity, yeah.
Yeah.
And what I thought was very interesting is that he gets shocked, he gets the Flash powers, and he gets these like Flash eyes for a second.
Yeah.
He's like, ooh, I got the zoomies or whatever.
Surely that's not a thing normally.
Like, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
That's how the reader knows. It's working.
They're like, oh my God, he's the Flash.
I didn't even catch that.
It's not like when the Hulk starts turning the Hulk. Like, you don't see like a big fist logo or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But so he's the Flash now.
Yep. Pretty cool. We go over to New Themyscira once again. We see Lois Lane. She's like a spy for somebody, I think for the president. I can't remember.
She's like a special spy reporter, undercover person, I think.
Yeah, and she runs into Etrigan the Demon and the Resistance.
Yeah. This is the first grifter we see, right, in the DC universe? Because he was normally like a Wildstorm.
I don't know for sure, but that makes sense.
I think that's what it was. I think they use this as an opportunity to bring like the good stuff from Wildstorm or whatever that was. Because that was like
Wildstorm is like the imprint of Image, yeah. And then DC bought it.
DC bought it, yeah.
He was in like the Wildcats book.
Yeah.
And so he may have been in before this. But, and then I'm not going to do the theme, but like, who else? Do you know any of these other people?
Yeah. So we have Etrigan, of course.
I gave you that one.
We have Grifter.
Dude.
We have Canterbury Cricket.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I love that.
He's the big green one.
We need to read a Canterbury Cricket book.
I think he was original to this because I've never seen him anywhere else. He's just in the back matter.
Is there a cricket spinoff book?
Canterbury Cricket. Yeah.
No, there's no cricket.
He doesn't pop
not that
up.
I've found. You see
that
if one? I find it, I'll let you know.
Fuck, dude. It
must not have sold very well. Godiva, I believe.
That's chocolate.
No, it's a person.
Okay.
And I think Black Canary is supposed to be in here as well, but
is that who's in the middle?
I think she's in the center, yeah.
Okay.
Which is interesting because we never really see her do anything. We don't see a whole lot of the Resistance in here. I assume the Resistance itself was its own spinoff, maybe?
Probably.
Because this was like a very random element in this book. Like they come in right here and they come in like at the end, but they don't really impact.
This is cool, though.
It is cool. I think Grifter's just always cool. He's just cool enough.
He just looks cool.
He just looks cool, which means that he's cool enough to like be there. You know?
Remember when they really tried to bring him back or something, and they did Grifter got run over by a reindeer.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The Christmas spin-off. The Christmas
special. Yeah, I remember that one. They brought him in like Batman Urban Legends. Remember that?
Right, or maybe he was in like Batman the Outsiders or something. Yeah. But anyway, we got that. Barry's healing. He makes a suit in the Batcave because, you know.
I can't wear this shit.
Because it's basically a Joanne in there, and it has all the shit he needs.
So he willingly makes the boots again.
Right. He could have had some bat boots or something.
Yeah.
And so Flash is brainstorming. He's like, how do we stop this from happening? How do we get things back to normal? And he's like looking up other people of the Justice League. He's like, where's Hal Jordan? You know, Abin Sur is still currently the Green Lantern of this Earth. Yep. Of Earth, and so
Hal's still like a pilot.
Hal's just like a tester pilot, and so he looks up what could have happened to Superman, and he's like, "Was there any rocket that fell in Kansas?" And Batman's like, "No, but there was a rocket that crashed into Metropolis, killing about 35,000 people."
And he's like, "That was weird."
And so because it caused all this damage and was in like this retro area, the government got involved and moved the rocket to like an underground facility in Metropolis. And what they need to do is go back to Cyborg, since he's the president's boy. And he's like, I need you to hack into your work and tell us where this rocket is.
It's interesting how willing Batman is to just undo his universe.
Yeah, he's like...
He's like, yeah, fuck it. You know?
He's like, fuck this. Well, he's not very happy.
Yeah, he's not very happy with what he's doing. He's like, and I do like the motivation of like, if there's a chance that like my son can live, we should try and do that.
Right.
Cause I don't got a whole lot going for me here. My wife's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So the old ball and chain.
Then there is the next time we see Flashpoint Batman is in like a prequel to a DC Universe and Watchmen like crossover event.
Oh, really?
So they bring the Watchmen characters into the DC Universe, and there's a prequel to that called The Button. I can't remember what the reason was, but Flashpoint Batman was in it, I think.
Yeah.
And that leans into the book called Doomsday Clock, which is just kind of characters from both those universes crossing over and stuff like that.
I actually have that installed. I just never...
Yeah.
Never actually read it yet.
Have you read Watchmen?
Half of it. It's
It's
dense.
It's a commitment.
It's about as dense as Watchmen.
I did not want to read it for this podcast.
Watchmen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a 3-hour episode.
Don't invite me to that one.
Yeah.
No, we did it like 2 years
ago. We did before Watchmen, before we did Watchmen. So
you have to.
But yeah, there's also a Flashpoint Beyond comic that like just came out. Like I think wrapped up. And so that'll come out in trade pretty soon. So that explores more Flashpoint Batman stuff. And I read the first issue. It also had some more context for Aquaman and Wonder Woman stuff, like post what we see here, I guess. So it's interesting.
And so back to our story. Cyborg takes our friends into the sewers where they go into the secret facility where this rocket is being held. And I got a little distracted here, and Cyborg looks like super thick here. Did you see him?
Let me see. Oh my God, look at that.
You see this donk?
The donk does go crazy.
This robo donk is crazy. I'm like, why did they draw it like that?
You definitely upgraded that.
Yeah. Like, why is this ledge here or whatever to where he needs to be on his knees?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the things I notice. And so there's a little thing where there's like multiple holding cells in this, and they called Superman like...
Subject one,
and there's also subject two and subject three, which we don't know about until they go past subject two's holding cell.
Uh-huh.
And there is a dog skeleton And so in this book, Crypto was killed and therefore bad book.
No, we don't know for sure it's Crypto.
Crypto, what do you mean?
Different universes could be like a little dinosaur.
He's got the Superman tag.
Look how spiny his spine is. Do you see Crypto with spiny spine?
All dogs have spiny spine.
No, my dog doesn't have a spiny spine.
You can't see his spine?
No. Lynn, we have a rule. If there's a dog that dies in a comic book, it's a bad book.
Bad book.
Oh, man.
There's no need for a dog to die.
I don't know if the dog is Crypto, but...
Exactly. This could be...
It is a brown dog that showed up after Subject 1, which is Superman.
A brown dog.
Yeah.
So, not Crypto.
Not Crypto. Could also be...
Did you read
that? Well, in the Superman spinoff, the dog is in that.
Okay.
Plays a pretty interesting role.
So, it's a little ambiguous whether this is a dog that has died.
Also, what do you mean? Also, it didn't come as the dog skeleton. Died.
Listen,
you didn't see it.
Listen,
but
we don't know. Also, does this rule apply if the dog's already dead when we meet the dog?
There should be no dead dogs.
Well, how do we know it was a dog? It was an alien. It could be a dog-shaped something else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a spiny spine. It could be, you know, a dinosaur.
It looked like a dog, which doesn't help the case. But
it looks like a canine skeleton.
It does, but with a spiny spine. So maybe, you know, Flash runs back, he saves his mom, fucks up Krypton, you know, and their evolution gets all out of whack. You know, we don't know. Maybe the changes in the universe get more intense as it goes further away from Earth, and it made the evolution of dogs on Krypton into dinosaurs. So, not a bad book.
Anyway, they open up this big holding cell, and we see a very thin, black-haired man, which we assume is Kal-El, Subject 1.
Yep.
And he looks very brittle. He looks like he's never seen humans before. He's spent his whole life in captivity.
Yep.
Since he's been imprisoned, he's not been exposed to the Earth's red sun.
Red sun.
Yeah. Red sun. So he's not which is where Superman gets his powers and where he gets his muscles.
So they break him out, then he escapes. He's like, "What the fuck? I can fly now!" And then he like leaves.
Yeah, he sees the sun, and he's like, "Wow!" And then all these like guards are following behind him, and he just dips.
Yeah, I love how hectic this heist is, because even in like the process of getting into like the Subject 1 chamber thing, there's like guards trying to get them. Cyborg's like, "Fuck, I'm definitely fired," you know. And then they like use a sonic boom, they break Superman out, and there's more guards, and then they like crash themselves out, go to the outside, and then Superman flies off, and they're like, "Well, fuck, you know, that was the whole reason we were here." So I like that. And also, he's really good at drawing just like a skinny man, just malnourished.
I love this concept. This is probably like one of my favorite parts.
Yeah,
you know, just to like what would happen if like the government had gotten involved, this is definitely how it would have gone.
100%. It's all fucked up.
And to see someone who's like done so good just be done so bad, you know?
Exactly.
And
it's very jarring to not see the normal Superman stature with his like thick ass neck and everything because of how big he is. So,
I love a thick neck.
Yeah, definitely tells a lot. So pretty cool.
And we got issue 4.
Another Obama.
Obama's on the TV again. Yep. We're at the Batson household.
Do you think Flashpoint's the first appearance of Obama? Do you think they have that tracked?
You could probably like look up Obama comic book appearances, and then it'd be first appearance.
I'm going to see if that's actually a thing. Keep going.
But anyway, the Batson kids are like, "I don't know if we should go help, you know, because we're Captain Thunder or whatever." And Billy is like, "Think about it. If we don't stop this, that means no more pizza on Fridays or whatever."
It's a good reason.
So they're motivated by pizza, which is understandable.
There's a whole Wikipedia page called Obama in Comics.
Nice.
I'm trying to find his first appearance. Give me a second. Technically, it was Mad Magazine, I think.
That hardly counts.
First appearance in Marvel, Captain America number 41 by Ed Brubaker, Steve Epting.
Oh.
That's interesting. I never would have guessed that. He was also in Secret Invasion. He was in Savage Dragon.
Secret Invasion?
Yep, apparently.
Savage Dragon? That's hilarious. I wonder if they have to run this by anybody. Like, is this allowed?
You know what? That's a good point.
It's like, you could just make them do like anything.
There's a Michelle Obama appearance.
But if you're like a public official, I don't know that you can like sue someone for using your...
Defamation?
Not defamation. They're not saying this is you. This is just a version of you.
Maybe. Because everyone put it down as like parody or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't see any DC in here. So I don't know if
Suicide Squad Rebirth for
maybe,
a fact.
Maybe because he's not actually named as Obama, they can't technically put it in here.
I don't know. Well, we can actually edit a Wikipedia page for the first time and be right, you know?
That's so true.
Not just to fuck with it. I have that issue in here somewhere.
That's awesome.
It would take like an hour to find, but anyway, we see Hal Jordan, Nathan's favorite.
Hold on. Sorry.
Fuck.
There's a comic book appearance called Army of Darkness, Ash Saves Obama.
Oh my God.
Wow. Isn't that sick?
That's sweet. It's like,
we're going to have to find that. Sorry, I was just looking at all of the things.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, continue.
So we see Hal Jordan. He's a test pilot. He's got a nuke, and he's going to fly over New Themyscira with a nuke.
Yeah.
And which is a terrible idea. And
do you know when they did the nukes in World War II, the pilots didn't know if they had the bomb or not. They all just kind of assumed they did.
They had placebos or whatever.
Yeah, they had placebo bombs and shit.
Yeah.
And Hal Jordan just knows.
He shows no mercy.
He's like the guy. He's like, yeah, I'm not scared.
Because you don't want anyone to like hesitate. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, they go to our friends escape from the guards, you know, Batman, Flash, and Cyborg. They're saved by Element Woman, which is like a spin on like Metamorpho, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And she's all right. She's got this weird like speech bubbles that have like little clouds in it or something that looks like cotton candy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I like when lettering gets fun.
Yeah, she's kind of annoying, but you know.
Very clingy.
Very clingy, yeah.
Excited to be on a team.
She just wanted to be on the team.
Yeah, she wants to hang out with Cyborg.
Yeah. So they go to the Batson house, and the Flash is continuing to lose his memories, and he goes to Billy because I guess he's got some sort of Wisdom of Solomon or something.
Yeah.
And that can help prevent his memories from going away. This isn't very important, but they all decide to be Captain Thunder and go join them in the war zone to stop the war.
Yeah. So they end up going to the war zone. And there's a sweet double page spread. You know, lots of drama happens in this too. They're like, you're wearing my wife's helmet. And you're like, well, that's a little fucked up. But it's like such a cool spread.
You can see London like elevated.
Yeah.
There's
a McDonald's in the background. It's called McRound.
What?
In this double page spread, there's a McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting. So at least he didn't fuck that up for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the alternate costume for Shazam. I think it's pretty good. I mean, they just tweaked the logo a little bit, but I think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it works. They probably could have done more. Like, how does that represent Thunder, you know? I guess that little, gray ball is supposed to be like a cloud?
The moon?
a storm like cloud?
The sonic boom from the sound of thunder.
Yeah, there you perhaps, go. Perhaps. Tell them a story, Daniel. Open your mind a little bit.
Okay. So they have an Enchantress with them as well. They came. Captain Thunder's got a tiger, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But no one else can see it except for the kids. But everyone else sees like a little cat or something.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. And so they do a big old fight. And Enchantress does the thing. She double crosses them. She separates all the kids from Captain Thunder. And Wonder Woman, you don't really see it, but she definitely like stabs Billy Batson in the back with her big ass sword.
Yep.
Meaning that the Shazam kids can't form again, which is crazy. I wonder if they can find a replacement or something. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Maybe they, you know, apply.
Yeah.
I don't know. With Shazam. Like that's the god that gave him the powers, right? Shazam? Or the wizard?
Yeah, the wizard gave
him the wizard of Shazam or whatever.
So they're like, dude, we need another one.
Yeah. And then around the corner, we get a Reverse Flash saying, look what you did.
Also wearing boots.
With his crazy ass bulge.
He does have a big bulge here.
I don't know what Adam Kubert is thinking, but he can't avoid the bulge.
I think he started drawing the legs first, maybe, and then he's like, shit, I need like...
You got to start
the legs crotch. Are a little far apart. Yeah. I got to connect them, you know.
Had to fill in.
Yeah. It's ballsy that they killed a kid in this book. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I don't love kids dying.
You love dead kids?
No, let me walk that back a little bit. But yeah, I was like, wow. They like killed just like a 13-year-old or whatever. So that's pretty... Insane.
So if you want to like see real ballsy, read the Batman or no, the Superman spinoff, and I think it was Lex Luthor's dad feeds him to that dog we saw dead.
Whoa.
Because like things go bad, I won't like spoil it, but things go bad, and
no, we want to spoil
essentially
it, shit.
That
you can tell us what happens.
Okay, so essentially there was a Subject Zero that was there before Superman. Ooh. And he's kind of like a Captain America type, so soldier that just wants to serve his country. They're going to juice him up. No, he's not a Kryptonian. He's just a soldier. They're going to juice him up. They're giving him, you know, different serums or whatever, hitting him with different rays. But anyways, he starts getting power, and over time, like, everything, they're like trying to see what it would take to hurt him, and everything they do to hurt him just makes him stronger. So it's almost like a Hulk type thing. So the more you do, the more powerful I get. And because of that, they couldn't control him. So by the time Superman shows up and they bring him there, they pretty much put this guy, Subject Zero, on the back burner.
Right.
But he's like so powerful at this point where he can like communicate with Superman telepathically. He's talking to Superman through the walls, and they're kind of scheming this plan to escape. So he's telling him, like, don't do anything they ask you to do. Don't use your powers. And then there's that dog there. So it all comes to a head when the escape plan happens, and they break that dog out. And then that dog charges Lex Luthor's dad, who like runs this whole place. And instead of getting bit, he throws Lex in front of the dog. And
whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty dark.
Yeah. I didn't really wonder what happened to Lex in this book, but I'm glad I know now.
Yeah. He got ate by the dead dog.
So Lex's bones are in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably. In that pile. So we're on issue 5. Just looking at this cover, you know, of, you know, our hero and our antagonist. I don't get like the little ear wing things in this. They just look kind of odd. The ear things.
Yeah. Looks great.
They don't look like the normal ones. And it looks like
a plunger.
They look like their head is a spaceship or something.
Yeah, I don't really know why they have the ears, to be honest.
Well, in general, yeah, I get it. Sometimes there's like a phone in there or whatever, but this one, this design for that is like odd.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It looks like, I don't know, something that starts like a lawnmower, you know?
Yeah, you rip it.
I'm just curious, like, if it will spin. Like,
yeah.
Is that a thing? Is there a
does it help them stay like straight?
Yeah,
like, you know how like airplanes, like they have a little wing, the end of the wings, and they go up?
Just kind of like adjust.
Apparently it helps with like fuel economy.
Keeps them steady.
Yeah, helps with fuel economy and all that. So maybe that's like
how they go through the.
Or maybe it is like a rip force. It thing, and that's how they start themselves up, you know?
Well, there's like rails on the Speed Force, and they hook on, and then they go.
Oh, yeah, like those trains?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like it pulls out, and it's like a safety thing for like the cosmic treadmill, you know?
Oh yeah. So you clip it on your shirt.
Yeah. if it clips off, then it stops, you know.
Like, whoa, you good? That's funny.
Anyway, issue 5 and the last one, Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom, whatever you want to call him, he reveals to Barry that he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's not the villain here. And Barry Allen is actually the person who went back in time and saved his mom from being killed. Stopped Eobard Thawne from killing his mom, and created this whole new Flashpoint universe timeline.
He's like, listen, I didn't do shit. He's like, this is off me.
Yeah.
But there's a point where he's like helping him remember. And like, I think John's kind of really leans on the Speed Force a lot to like explain things.
Sure.
And like, he kind of like molds it to work however he needs it to work. At one point, the Reverse Flash like gives Barry like a noogie on the head to like help him remember things.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, is this how the Speed Force works? You know, like, how does he know how to do that?
It works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, well, this is a little much. You know, everything else, you know.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny.
And so he explained, another part I liked is that he explains that he would never do this, like Eobard Thawne. He would never do this because like, he needs Barry to become the Flash.
So that he can become.
Yeah, because he creates the Speed Force, makes it sustainable to where Reverse Flash can use it in the future, which is where he's from. And so he can become a Reverse Flash. So he would never actually like kill him. And the only reason he's in this is because he was in the Speed Force when Barry went back in time. And so he's outside of time completely.
Yeah.
To where nothing that happens in this timeline affects him.
Yeah, I think Johns is really good at keeping annoying plot elements and then, like, keeping that continuity the same, but finding a way out of it that's also like in continuity. Like,
yeah.
He never retcons really anything. where he's like, I figured it out or whatever. Like, yeah. He makes like an explanation, which I appreciate because he respects like the rules before, but like, I think he wanted to set up some stuff with Reverse Flash later on. And so he like broke him out of that, which I think is kind of cool.
So since nothing that happens in time affects him, he can now kill Barry.
Yeah.
You know,
I also really like this simile that he gives, that Barry was like a bullet that went through a windshield and it like shattered history.
Yeah.
Because it like, you know, even though it was like one point that the bullet hit, it like shatters and affects everything else and goes in different branches and stuff. So that's a really good way to like look at it.
Yeah. And so they fight for a bit and Batman's just had it and he kills the Reverse Flash. With a Wonder Woman's sword.
Yeah, I love a Batman with a sword.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Flash fighting, really cool.
Dude, this must be like a prequel for Dark Knights of Steel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like the Speed Force fighting. I think Kubert does that really well. Just tons of lightning involved, you know. They're kind of just like running all around.
Yeah, but the war keeps going. And the Resistance shows up to help,
yep.
You know. Good old Resistance, and we needed him. Uh-huh. We get our what's the cricket dude's name?
Canterbury Cricket.
Canterbury Cricket.
He's there. He's helping.
Yeah, he's there to save the day.
He looks so wide here.
Yeah.
He like jumps in. It's wild.
And so it looks like they're losing. Like the good guys, the Resistance, they're losing.
Yeah.
But in comes Subject One, Superman, to save the day. He punches both Wonder Woman and Aquaman, one fist each. And just shows him what's up.
But I definitely don't remember, like, when he comes in, him, like, Goomba stopping, like, Enchantress.
Oh, man, I never caught that.
He, like, lands on Enchantress and just obliterates her. You see it.
Yeah, you see her hat
The
there.
Panel before is really funny because you see, like, his shadow.
Oh, wow.
You see, like, his shadow or, like, a silhouette, the panel before, which I think is really funny.
That's fucking brutal. Oh,
isn't that crazy? Like, I don't remember that at all. I was like, what the fuck did you just do?
Damn.
Yeah.
I like this book a lot more.
Yeah, no, it's pretty, yeah.
But regardless of the war ending, there's still the seismic activity, the tectonic plates doing their thing, and the world's about to end regardless, or at least this part of the world.
Yeah.
And so Barry does what he does best, and he just runs, and he runs to his mom's house. And so,
Mom,
help!
Mom!
And so somehow in the span of a couple of seconds, his mom is able to understand what's happening.
Yeah, I was like, she really is knowledgeable about
the Speed Force. She knows some Speed Force lore here.
She's like, so what you're going to do here is you can go back to Cosmic Treadmill. You know, she like knows all this shit. I was like,
but you were drawn back to me when you started to break the time barrier like a lightning rod.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I was like,
what the fuck? This is... Just give it like a couple more pages to make this make sense.
And what's funny is like, oh, she must have known beforehand. But no, he literally turned into Flash like in this book. So she didn't know shit.
Yeah.
So he must have had like a good hour with her or something. Yeah. Be like, listen, you're not going to believe this. But
also, before he the Flash left, the Thomas Wayne Batman gave him a letter. And so anyway, when his mom realizes that she like has to go in order to save like billions, you know, he runs into the Speed Force and catches up with himself on the Cosmic Treadmill and just stops him from doing his thing.
He didn't have the clip on, so he was able to stop him from the treadmill, you know?
Yeah.
I really like this final moment between Barry and his mom. I think it's kind of cool that he gets like that sort of like closure before he's like, I'm going to forget you, you know, probably. So I thought that was really cool. Also, I think the Cosmic Treadmill is like the dumbest
thing,
like the dumbest, funniest, most comic booky thing like ever. And I love it so much.
I just don't understand like how it functions. So
it's got a purpose, right? Like it
just catches up with him so that Barry can run fast enough to access the Speed Force. So it just like...
So is it moving along or is he actually running on a treadmill?
He's stationary, but able to run as fast as he needs to. And then he's going, the Speed Force kind of goes around him and he's still on that treadmill. So that's why you see it. But I don't think it moves, really.
You ever been on one of those treadmills that don't turn on? You know, you just... It goes with you?
Yeah, it's like I have. That. Oh, but yeah. Like,
very scary.
Yeah, it is very scary.
I feel like the whole concept of like... affecting time by going so fast is based on like moving in time and space, not just being stationary, but like with a treadmill, he's like running. Like if I'm running faster than the speed of light, like just moving that fast right here.
But he's able to do that without like tearing up the planet.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to add too much logic to this.
Yeah, that his legs not up in here.
I'll just accept it.
His legs and arms are still moving very fast. You know.
Yeah. One last time, Nathan.
Oh shit!
There's a lot of these. You can just kind of point out some of the ones that we don't know.
All right, we have
like who's right in the middle.
I don't know.
Okay,
that's the only one I really don't know. But we get like there's some groups. We see Justice League Dark. I'm pretty sure. So you get like your Swamp Thing, your Constantine, everybody else on that team.
Okay.
We I think
that's the Wildcats next to him.
Wildcats. Yeah, you see Midnighter and the other Superman character. You see Grifter. All those people.
What is his name? Like Light something? Or
it's like Midnighter.
Apollo.
And Apollo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the rest of the Wildstorm cast.
We get Animal Man, dude. Over on the right next to Batwoman or Batgirl.
Yep, Animal Man's there. So this is like a Earth. No, I don't know what this is, to be honest.
I don't know why they put like Swamp Thing in here twice.
I think it's like an old school Justice League. Because like you see like Sinestro as like a Green Lantern there. You know, I don't really know what's going on. Then there's like a new 52 Justice League. It even looks like it's Jim Lee that draws it. I'm not even sure, but
yeah.
And then a normal Justice League on the bottom left. So there's just like a bunch of timelines converging. They say that like three different timelines are merging into one or something. And yeah. I think it's like old DC Wildstorm and then like parts of, you know, new 52 universe. I don't know. I don't really know what the point there was.
Yeah, I just ignored this bit.
Yeah.
And so
doesn't really matter.
He's back waking up at work like normal. He goes to the Batcave and visits Bruce Wayne, tells him everything that happens. Bruce Wayne doesn't fucking flinch. He's like, oh, wow.
Wow. I'm glad you made it. That's crazy.
And Barry explains that he can remember a lot of that universe. So he remembers like these years of memories with his mom, which is really cool.
It's kind of fucked up that he's like bragging about that a little bit.
Yeah, I got at my parents.
I had a nice, healthy life with my parents that I remember. So
yeah, you know. And Batman said that he would probably do the same thing, but probably not save the day. And then Barry gives Bruce the letter from his dad. I think in the button we actually get the letter and we can read it. In
the movie, we get the letter.
In the movie, I don't think so.
Oh, maybe not.
But you just get the beginning, like dear son, and at the end. Love always your father.
Doesn't matter what he says.
But it does. And then Bruce Wayne starts crying like a little bitch.
Yeah. Come on. And this is a really perfect way to wrap it up, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that like you expect, but it is like a really nice thing that like Bruce Wayne gets to have.
A way to make it about Batman again, you know?
Yeah. But that's all of DC, you know? That's going to happen.
Right.
But yeah, I think it was really clever, you know, because like you don't really get that opportunity, obviously. And so it was a great way to wrap it up.
And so let's get into Back Matter Matters, Nathan and Lynn. Back Matter Matters.
Yep, so this is the segment where we talk about the back matter, which is just extra stuff at the back of a trade or a graphic novel. And we got some variants here. So we got a Cyborg variant that looks like he's doing like a whole Superman thing. Not sure what that's about.
Yeah, I thought that was sick. Because he's like the best hero in that universe.
Yeah.
So he is like Superman, essentially.
Yeah, that's true. There's like a double. There's like a front and back cover.
Yeah. Promotional variant.
Yeah, by Andy Kubert. Looks pretty cool. It's weird that Reverse Flash is in this because it's like a number one variant. And we don't really see him until like the end of issue 4.
Yeah, so just a wraparound variant.
Yeah. We get some Wonder Woman, some Aquaman variants. What do they call him? Captain Thunder?
Captain Thunder.
Yeah. So we get one of those variants. We get a Jose Luis Garcia Lopez variant, which is kind of cool.
Is that three people?
No, that's one person. One person, long ass name, but classic artist. And then there's like a whole ass map.
That's pretty cool.
Which I do like. Yeah. It's like apparently Brazil is Nazi occupied. I don't know what that's about. We didn't really catch that.
There. Dude, it's like the Fourth Reich.
The Fourth Reich, yeah. Our favorite supervillain team.
It's your favorite, Nathan. I didn't say anything.
No, it's your favorite. You told me that off podcast. You said you wanted to be them, actually. So, yeah, so there's just like a bunch of like random stuff that's like happening on this map.
Lynn, in your studies, how were a lot of these like explored or not really?
Most of what I saw was concentrated like right in the middle of that red circle.
The war zone.
Parked under the water right under that island, just like wrecking Europe with a seismic whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Let me get some sketches. So Metropolis, and designs.
That's where they keep. So in the Green Lantern spinoff, they initially were going to take Abin Sur to the same place that Superman was.
Okay.
So because he crashed, Hal found him. He was alive, hence why Hal's not the Green Lantern. But Cyborg was there and said, let's get him back to health, figure out what he's about. And then he actually started helping them go like rescue people in Europe and ended up helping with the battle until like his ring ended up. He wasn't supposed to save Earth. He was supposed to get the white
people.
Being.
Save the white people.
Funny, but,
the white people to save.
It was like not the white being, but the white entity, which was buried in Earth. And he was supposed to get that, but when he got to Earth, everything matters. So he's like, well, I'm not leaving until I save the Earth, and then I'll get the white entity and bring it back.
Yeah.
So they cut him off. So he had 13% left in his ring. He used it to save as many people as he could and then dove into the Earth. And you think he dies, but he ends up apparently diving into the white entity, which somehow turns him white, and now he's got like the white suit and a different symbol on his chest.
Oh, like, turns into like, a white lantern?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, crazy. He turned into a white lantern.
Do you know any of that?
Huh?
Do you know any of that? Is there a white entity in the Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that where the...
There's a white and a black entity.
Where's the black entity?
He's in the Earth.
They're just chilling?
His name is Necros. He's the he's the focus of Blackest Night, which is a really sick event.
Okay.
It actually... This is another Geoff Johns like event, so the same writer of this. And what I like that he did in this series is that he creates a reason for why superheroes come back from the dead so often, because there's this black entity named Necros who's like, he gets his power from like death. The White Lanterns get their powers from life, right? So they're constantly clashing, but Necros is the one that allows people to come back to life, you know? So he like kind of writes that in, which I think is really clever.
You think he wouldn't do that? Because death gives him power, you know?
Yeah, but then when Blackest Night happens, every hero that has died in the past becomes a Black Lantern.
Oh, cool.
So it's really cool, yeah.
For sure.
Well, yeah, we get some sketches also in this back matter of that really big panel that I liked. They actually tweaked it a little bit to make it look even bigger. So it's that panel with the Eiffel Tower kind of sunk.
Well, here's Godiva here.
Yep, told you.
With these character designs.
Oh, Mrs. Hyde. That's the one I didn't know.
Okay.
But yeah, there's like a little blurb about each character, which I think is kind of cool. Some of the designs for Aquaman, they talk about how they wanted it to be red with like some stripes and stuff, and they give a reason. Apparently Aquaman's trident is collapsible. But like not by much, to
didn't
be
need to know that.
Like it only goes down like just like, you know, to like halfway.
To stabby
mode. Yeah, I guess so. So maybe he could do it like one.
Well, it's
like
just got to be able to go on his back while he's swimming and not be in the way of his feet.
Oh, yeah,
feet.
Not like hit his legs. Yeah, that's
got to get his flippers going.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Shazam designs, Wonder Woman design, Batman design. I like looking at the little notes for like each character design, and they're like, for the Batman one, they're like, pointy shoulders. Got to have that.
Yep. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And that is Flashpoint.
Sir.
Nathan, what would you rate this book?
You know, this is our segment where we rate something based off of a random food size that's not small, medium, or large. You know, this is not a venti. This is a trenta.
Whoa.
Exactly what you need, because, you know, when I'm reading this book, I was like wired in. Like I've read this book before.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, God damn it, this is so good, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so focused on it, kind of like how coffee makes you focused, you know? So that's what I would rate this. I think it's, especially if you're like just getting into like reading superhero comics, this one's pretty accessible for the most part, because you don't need to know a whole lot about the DC universe. So I think it's pretty good.
Nice. Lynn, what would you rate this?
Do I have to go with Starbucks or?
No, you can go like.
We mostly do Cold Stone. Like it, love it, gotta have it.
We do Raisin Cane sometimes, pizza sizes.
All right, I'm going to say it's definitely a Caniac.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Extra toast?
I think, oh yeah, extra toast, extra sauce.
It's an extra toast, extra sauce book. Yeah, I like
it. Sub slaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's nothing I can point out that I didn't like about the book. I thought the story was great, the curveballs were great, and if you read like the side stuff, I still have a lot to read of that, so that'll be the rabbit hole I live in for the next however long it takes me to get through it all.
So those are your side of fries with your Caniac.
Got it. Extra side of fries, because there were some fries in this too,
so. or like some leftovers, or like bag fries, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
no coleslaw in this book.
No coleslaw.
That's good. No good coleslaw. To hear.
Okay. I give it a love it, you know, but like a really solid love it, you know, extra scoops as much as they can fit in a love it container.
Oh my goodness.
Like a rocky road, but with like extra marshmallows, extra almonds and shit, all the extra everything that's in rocky road.
Can't believe you're doing this.
You know,
because it's not a gotta have it.
it maybe
that's what the workers thinking when they're making that. I like, love it. I think this is a gotta have it.
Like, yeah, it might as well upgrade.
Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, so I order a love it, right?
Uh-huh.
And I add all this shit, and they're like, it's not gonna fit.
Yeah.
And so they have to put in the gotta so they have it.
Dump it in. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's just like there's some things in it that I guess I think are better when you're like new to reading. You know, like this is a great like kind of first event to read just to kind of get what like comics are like.
Yep.
And it is a great story. There's aspects of it that I love. Adam Kubert is not like my favorite of all time. And so it's
Andy,
both of them.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding. There was just like some panels. I'm like, it looks a little odd, you know, just like, but it is obviously great and much better than I can draw. But, I just start to notice like the artwork, like after reading, like 5 years after, you know?
Sure.
And so maybe the first time I read it, I would have given like, I gotta have it. But this, I'd be like, I still love it. But it's just not quite there yet. And
it's not as intricate of an ice cream as you would have wanted.
Right. I mean, it is pretty intricate and like a different timeline shit is great. Like I love a time travel movie, you know?
Sure.
And so, it just doesn't necessarily like go over the edge for me when it comes to that. So yeah, sorry about it.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah. And you're totally entitled to your opinion, and so am I.
Nope, you're wrong.
If we voted.
Yeah. Majority rules.
If you vote, okay, loser. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Yeah. Wrong. Okay, overruled. Okay. This is probably like the best event, you know, if I were to like compare.
I think, I think that's a good point. It is a really strong event comic, but mainly because they were just going to throw everything out and start new again, so they kind of could do whatever they wanted.
Not a lot of good stuff after this, you know, so.
Yeah, at least event-wise.
Right. But anyway, let's get into the poll list. Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Lynn, have you bought any new comics this week?
A lot of Flashpoint spinoffs.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I just bought the volumes on Comixology. So,
do you have are they like all collected into like one volume?
No, just like they have like each one separate, but like the spinoffs are technically 3-issue spinoffs, but there's a lot more on top of that. Like each one I bought is like 250 pages to read.
Oh, so, wow.
Oh, wow.
They're like oversized.
And it like gets, it like starts involving people that aren't involved in this direct
right.
like conflict. So I'm going to be buried in that.
That's cool.
Foreseeable future.
You have to let me know how it is or which ones are the best one. Cause I think I've only read the Green Lantern one. I want to say.
Yeah, I've just read the Batman one. Do you have a library card?
No.
There's an app called Hoopla that is like connected to like public libraries.
Okay.
And as long as you have like a library card, you like create an account and there's like a ton of comics on there that you can read like on like an app.
I'll just check out.
And yeah, you borrow it for like 30 days and then it returns. You just re-borrow it again.
Oh, okay.
And so might save you a few bucks on a couple things, especially if you just wanted to just have a taste or whatever. But like half the time we're doing books on this podcast, it's because I'm reading on like Hoopla.
Oh, cool.
And then Nathan won't get a library card because he's lazy and he
gotta get up
and he just buys them all.
Good advice.
We're trying to support the creators.
It is a very expensive habit. I don't want you to stop just because of money.
Yeah,
I won't.
But so a lot of Flashpoint stuff. Nathan, what did you get this week?
It was a big week for me,
including Comic-Con or
not including Comic-Con. I'll tell you about my Comic-Con cops in a second.
Okay. But
just this week, Batman came out.
136.
Ambassadors number 6.
Yep. Last issue, I think.
Phantom Road came out. Shazam came out, Daredevil 12.
Ah, shit, hold on. Shazam 2, right?
Yeah.
Phantom Road 4?
Phantom Road 4. Daredevil, which I know you're not reading. And then a new John Layman book called In Hell We Fight.
Yes, sir.
Came out this week, which he told me about when I went to the go get some stuff signed by him. I got Bermuda signed by him.
Oh, yeah, he had like the...
He had it there, and he was like, I would give this to you, but then I would piss off the comic book shops locally. And so I was like, you know what, that's fair.
He offered. He's like, I can send you the PDF. I'm like, I'll buy it. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So I picked that up.
Yeah, that guy's a homie.
Yeah, big fan of John Layman. So that's the stuff I picked up from the shop. We had Comic-Con, Phoenix Fan Fusion, actually. It's not a Comic-Con. What happened there?
I think it's like
Diego purchase the rights.
Might have like the copyright or whatever. It's not like related.
Isn't there like a New York Comic-Con and stuff still?
I think that's like related to the San Diego one somehow.
Like Emerald City.
All of those are related, really? Except for the Phoenix one.
Yeah, there's like one company or group, or I don't know what you call it, that can call itself Comic-Con. And
No. Or you have to like probably buy the rights in order to advertise yourself as that.
Well, I thought this year was pretty good as far as like Comic-Cons go. Like, yeah. They had some good guests,
Great guests.
Good comic book guests, especially Tom King's never been here since I started liking him. So, I don't know if he's ever been here at all. So, that was cool. Mark Waid was here, got some stuff signed by him.
Yeah, that was exciting.
I was doing some comic book hunting. I had about 2 hours in total because all of Saturday I didn't do much because I had my Mandalorian cosplay. It was kind of hard to like do anything. So, I was just kind of like walking around doing panels. And then on Sunday,
you got to work.
I had to stand in line for a Bo-Katan signing and a Bo-Katan photo op, which happened at two different times.
Ah.
But we did get Sophie's Bo-Katan helmet that we made signed.
Yes. Ah.
Which is super cool. Now it's like up on the shelf.
What was she like?
Entertainment Center. She was cool. I mean, it was obviously like you have to go very fast. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
She's very nice. She's wearing like a Jack Daniel's shirt and like a big hat.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. She's very nice. When she was signing the helmet, she's like, you made this from scratch? Oh, wow. And then we like left, you know. But that was pretty cool. So nice. Anyway, I only had like 2 hours to really hunt for comics.
Yeah.
I was really close to getting like an Iron Fist signed by Chris Claremont. And it was like the first appearance of Sabretooth, which was in an Iron Fist comic. I don't know if you've known that.
No.
So I was really close to getting that. I found an Iron Fist first appearance, which I don't have. I just have his first like solo series, number one.
Yeah.
It was graded 3.0, but it was only like $300. I decided against it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
But I did end up getting Teen Titans number one, like that, you know, very famous one by...
The New Teen Titans one?
Yeah, New Teen Titans.
That's not their first appearance, is it?
No, I don't think so.
But like, it's the first of like the George...
It's a very iconic, you know, start of a run. You know, Deathstroke gets introduced in that run.
Nice.
You know, George Perez, not with us anymore, but stellar team, you know. So I got that. I was really excited about that. It's a 9.4 or 9.6, I think.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Which is really cool. And then I picked up a Nova first appearance, which is pretty super cool. I'm very excited about that. It's not graded, but I still have a Nova first appearance.
The Dick Rider?
Dick Rider, Richard Rider, yeah. So I'm very pumped about that.
Cool. That's sick. Was that one graded?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not graded. I don't know if I will.
It's raw.
It's very raw, yeah.
Sick. So I got like all the same comics that you did, except... There's a new book called Return of the Jedi, Empire. And I think it's about just like stormtroopers and stuff. Oh. And just like kind of what they're doing during Return of the Jedi. Yeah. I think Jodie Hauser is writing it. She's done a lot of Star Wars stuff.
I know that name.
Yeah. And I just got like a print at Comic-Con. It was like of like some Watchmen stuff, which I thought was cool. It was this artist I've never seen before. And I went to a Love, Death, and Robots panel.
Oh, I saw that they had that, yeah.
Yeah, it was. We were just walking by that room, and then Dom really wanted to go to that. I'm like, okay. And so we get there, and they're like, oh, take a ticket for like a raffle. And we didn't. We just sat down, and they go through the whole panel. They're talking about episodes that they liked. And then at the end, they're like, if anyone didn't grab a raffle ticket, grab it now. And so we both get up and go grab one. And I'm like the second to last person to grab a ticket. And I won a prize. So
you did?
Yeah, it's pretty sick. Yeah.
You win.
So the first...
Be in the next Love, Death, and Robots season?
No, it's a... it's like a novelization of like the first season. So it's like...
Pictures?
No pictures. It's just like... It's the show typed out. The one I wanted was the fucking art book, which
that would be really cool.
Yeah, that was the third prize, but I didn't win that one.
Yeah. You ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great show.
So you're talking about a lot of those. Lynn, what did you get at Comic-Con?
I got a set of Ninja Turtle prints that were pretty cool. They're like, they have their names in Japanese on the front. And then I don't know if you guys saw the guy, but in the pictures, like for each artist they're named after, there's like Easter eggs in there.
Oh,
cool. As well as like different things they like.
I missed that.
Yeah. Like have different bracelets on or necklaces on or maybe a tattoo. So that was pretty cool. I got finally an Attack on Titan print, which I discovered over the last year was missing from my office. So resolve that issue.
Make sure you're talking to the mic.
Oh, resolve that issue. We got some more Star Wars bathroom prints because Roxanne's like full on letting me decorate the bathroom with Star Wars prints.
Where it's like Darth Vader shitting?
Yeah, so, well, we don't know that he's shitting. He might sit down when he pees. You don't know. He had like a bad burn.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably hard for him.
But yeah, so I already had the Darth Vader reading a newspaper. So now I have Boba Fett reading Harry Potter and then an AT-AT that's peeing on a fire hydrant that looks like R2-D2. So Roxanne actually picked that one out.
Good, good.
And then what else? Oh, I got a cool Cosmic Ghost Rider sketch. So
you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I have the figure that you got me up in my office. So I'm going to have the sketch up near it. So that'll be cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I got you the Marvel Legends thing, right?
Yeah.
Or was it a pop? It was the Marvel Legends.
No, it was number. Legends actual. I haven't taken it out. I'm like,
good.
Should I assemble it and like display it? And I'm like, better not. Matter. The box looks cool. You can see it like clearly through the box. So
are people ever like, what the hell is this? And you're like, okay, you have to explain the whole thing.
But yeah, other than that, just, I got a new lightsaber. So
that was cool.
Way better than the ones I had planned on bringing.
Yeah,
so
your cosplay was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked your Sith makeup.
Oh yeah. The best part is, so I was Darth Bane. That's what I was going for at first. I got a little crazy with the little eye spike paints. But anyways, when I took my picture with Darth Maul and Vader, Darth Maul was like, oh, you're Darth Bane. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the guy you guys were talking about at the beginning, that no one knew who he was, but then someone did.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But
Then also went to a TMNT celebration, which, was the original like 1980? Is that when it came out? 1980 TMNT movie.
Yeah,
and there was two like of the voice actors for the Ninja Turtles. There's like some stunt actors, the writer for the show, and a couple other people. But that was really cool. So we saw them like intro the movie. They took like some questions from somebody that was moderating. So we saw like, was it Leonardo and Michelangelo were like
it
the two
was
people?
I thought it was Michael or
definitely Michelangelo.
Michelangelo and
Donna.
Was it? It wasn't Raphael.
No, it wasn't Raphael.
No,
it was either Donatello or Leonardo. It might have been Donatello.
Yeah, I think it was Donatello.
Yeah, but it was cool. Oh, April was there as well.
Shredder. Cool. But the funny thing was, it wasn't the Shredder from the movie we were watching.
It was the Shredder from the second movie.
Yeah, so,
and he's just there.
So at the start the movie, all of them are going across and saying like what they enjoyed about shooting the movie or what they enjoyed about the movie, and he's just like, I actually didn't even like this one.
Yeah, that movie fucking rules.
Yeah, no, it's so super good.
It's so funny, dude.
Remember we used to have that like VHS at Grammy's house?
Yeah, we watched it all the time.
It was like green or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot about the movie that like doesn't make sense, but that's like so it's such a fun watch. There's like
did you watch this like recently? Like
I did
last year,
and I was like, I don't really like these, but I think it's because I was watching them like back to back, and they're a lot to do handle back to back, I think. But like just watching that one, especially with like the energy of everybody, you know, wanting to watch it. Pretty funny.
Gotta have gotta be in the right party.
Yeah. You know? I was trying to like do other shit as well while I was doing the other one. I still got tired of it, but that was fun. I'd never done anything like that at a Comic-Con. So.
Cool, Did you read anything?
Yeah, I read a lot actually. I finished Punisher, the recent Punisher run.
Was 12 ended, like last one?
Yeah, ended on 12. I finished it. I thought the whole series was great. It didn't end in like a happy ending, which I respected. And I was like, man, that was fucked up kind of deal. Yeah. So like the idea of this run is that he starts to become the leader of the Hand. And so he starts like using like samurai swords and stuff. Eventually he becomes like the beast or whatever. There's like a beast or some mythical creature or whatever that inhabits like a host. Mm-hmm. And so he just kills a lot, you know?
Yeah.
and they motivate him to do that by bringing back his dead wife. And so she's in the comic as well. And there's like a lot in there about like
grieving
as well as like in their past, like their marriage was like super like tense because Frank Castle came back like a different person. And the whole theme is like, he's more in love with like war than he is in love with like his wife. Mm-hmm. And that those are like actually very interesting like tidbits of it.
Yeah.
And then when it gets like a little bit boring, he just slices up some ninjas and shit. So it was like, it was a really cool comic. I liked it a lot.
For sure.
I read Green Arrow number 2, so that's the most recent one for that run.
Yeah,
pretty good. Green Arrow's like on like a different planet. He ended up, you know, somehow getting to a different planet. They don't really know why, what yet.
Uh-huh.
There's still some of it on Earth with like the rest of the Green Arrow family, but I found out, you know, Peacemaker.
Yeah,
apparently there's a Peace Wrecker, which is like a girl Peacemaker, same costume and everything, still the big thing on the head. But huh. I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know that existed.
And pretty then, hot or
whatever. Okay. And then I read
Doom. John Cena's hotter.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And then I read Doom Patrol 2 and 3.
Okay. My shop ran out of 3, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
Dude, this is like my favorite book, I think, right now.
Really?
I read issue 2, and I was like, dude, this shit is so good.
It's pretty good.
You read issue 2, right?
Yeah.
I was just dude, that really little surprised thing about
that
the
was
little...
in that stomach.
Yeah.
That person's stomach is so gross.
It was gross, but I was so surprised that like kid died.
Yeah,
he got blown up.
He was like the main character and just dies in the first in that same issue.
Wow, that's crazy. And then the third issue is like a big like they're dealing with like Green Lanterns.
No spoilers. But okay. I did see the cover. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like that issue as well. And it's DC's doing like a Dawn of DC thing. I think they realized that pretty much all of last year they had like 10 to 15 at least Batman titles.
Yeah.
And like not a whole lot of anything else really. Like it was mainly like Superman, Batman, and those were like the main titles.
Gotcha.
And then so they've just started this new initiative where there's like, you know, your Green Arrow, Shazam's, Doom Patrols, like all the characters that don't normally get a solo series, and then some new characters as well. So I'm enjoying reading some of those. But nice. I'm enjoying Doom Patrol a lot. And that's what I read.
Yeah. Cool. Lynn, did you read anything else other than Flashpoint stuff or something recently, I guess, before that?
Recently, I've read Court of Owls, which was
nice.
So good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Love
really
it.
Good one. What else? I started this Avengers, I think it started this year, Jed McKay.
Oh, okay.
I started that one, but like on panel 3, they mentioned the God Query, and then like I'm a huge Thanos fan, so then I'm like, oh man, I should probably go read Thanos and remind myself why I'm thinking about the God Query. So I ended up going like curveball and reading a Thanos run. One of the volumes is called The God Query.
Interesting. Okay.
Essentially, it's Thanos trying to kill all the gods and take all the power. So
that's cool.
Did you read Thanos Wins?
Yes. Okay. That's actually, I think that's the one before The God Query. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's the one before The God. Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking of like the first appearance of Cosmic Ghost Rider. Prequel to the book that we read.
Thanos Wins, I'm pretty sure, is like the last volume, I guess you would like call it, run. Of that run. So there's three, I think one's just called Thanos, then God Query, and then Thanos Wins.
Oh, so you're talking about like the Jeff Lemire one?
Yeah.
With like so Mike Diodato art, yeah.
I ended up like jumping back and rereading through all that stuff.
Wow. It's funny that you got like thrown off from like an editor's
note.
That's
why I can't get anywhere with comics, that I hear something or I see something and I'm like, ooh, I need to read that. And then like once I start reading it, I'm like stuck in here.
Yeah.
So
you got like comics ADD. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh shit, I gotta go buy that now.
But yeah, I want to go back.
I have to understand everything.
I want to go back and read that Avengers run just because I like most of the stuff I read is old stuff. I'm not really reading things that are current, at least not with like DC or Marvel. There's some other like weird stuff I read that came out like, what's his name? The guy, the Asian guy from Star Trek, George Takei.
Okay.
He made a comic book.
Like the actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrote a comic book and it's about like the Japanese internment during World War II.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
And it's like, it's actually really good. It's like, I'm a history buff. It's here. Let me get it for you.
You ever read the Good Asian?
The Good Asian? No.
That's a really good
That's a good one. It's like, it incorporates a lot of history, but it's like a fictional story about like an Asian detective, right? Mm-hmm. And it's set in like the 20s. So around like the Chinese Immigration Act or something like that, where they're banning a lot of Chinese immigrants. And so,
time period, a thing that happened that's like non-fictional, but this character like is within there and trying to navigate some of the very racist things happening.
A lot of corruption that's going on.
So they call us enemy.
That's a sick name. Seen that? Wasn't that nominated or something at some point? How old is that book?
I'm pretty sure it came out recently. Oh no, 2019.
Okay,
digitally released. So sometime before that. So not that new.
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds. But
it was really good though.
It's a sick name. Yeah,
definitely recommend it. If you like history, I'm also reading one called Socrates. This is my other side of nerdiness. I'm into some of the history stuff, but it's essentially about the trial of Socrates when they were saying like he's leading the youth of the city astray and he should be worshiping like their gods and that sort of thing. But
it's just, you know, called Socrates.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a very logical person. Like that's kind of the Socratic argument method. Like you use logic and come to a conclusion.
Interesting.
That's it there.
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting. I'm still reading through that one too. So
wow.
Very diverse.
I'm getting weird with my comics.
Yeah.
Other than that, I read stuff like that shit. Or Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were just a big two boy.
No, dudes in spandex punching each other, going to the Flashpoint. Not
as dude in robes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I still need to catch up on what's it called? The
Saga
with the horns. Saga. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I think
me too.
I don't know how many volumes there are now. I think I have like
11
one
or
two.
Or something.
Yeah, I think I'm on like 9.
You gotta just be completely caught up because the most recent stuff, like last couple of years, I think it's just been super exciting, especially after you reading it all. You know, like it like rewards you. You know,
for
being like so committed to it.
Yeah,
gotcha. Well, I'm sure I'll pivot back to that at some point.
Yeah, I read the rest of Human Target. Because Tom King was coming, and I'm like, I gotta finish one of his books, you know.
Yeah, I had him sign stuff I'd never read.
Yeah.
So, but what'd you think?
I think I like the first 6 issues more than like the last 6 issues because that's what I read basically. Mm. It's still really good. It wrapped up really well. So beautiful. Like,
yeah, most
that dude better win like the best artist this year.
I told him, I was like, I hope you win every Eisner for Human Target. And he was like, I hope so too.
Little bit of a humble brag, but I asked Tom King a question. I asked him one question, and it was a question he's never gotten before.
Ooh.
So in issue 6, there's a flashback to Christopher Chance, and he's on like the couch as a kid with his dad watching football, but they never say what team he's watching. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I said all that to him. I'm like, what team is his dad like a fan of? He's like, shit, I don't know. I hate to say it, but I guess he's from Boston, so it'd have to be the Patriots. I'm like, great answer.
That's why you asked him, huh?
I thought he was from, like, New York or something, so I was expecting, like, the Jets or the Giants or something. But nope, it's the Patriots, so I love that book even more now.
You just threw, like, the most specific thing at him.
Yeah, it's such a jock question, you know?
It is. Like, it is. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, cool book. What football team was that?
the most jock thing to pull out of that series as well.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, I also was in the middle of reading The Ambassadors number 6, and then I had to start eating, but really cool. It's all definitely coming to an end. It's happening very fast. The artist on this one is phenomenal, though.
Is it? Do we know?
Mateo Scalera.
Okay.
Basically, The Ambassadors is like, it's like Willy Wonka, but the people selected get superpowers.
Mm.
And so, but like, they specifically select people. It's not like random or anything.
Yeah.
But they select like people. Yeah, they select people that are like the best of humanity to get superpowers, and they represent like their country.
Yeah,
and they can like download superpowers from like a database thing. I have like 3 at a time or whatever. It's a really interesting concept, and each issue is like a different artist.
So are they like competing or?
No, they just kind
just
of like
living.
I mean, like hundreds of millions of people like applied, and then they just like select like 6 or 7 people, however many it is. But they do it from like different countries, and then they just kind of like help the world kind of deal.
Gotcha.
So it's interesting seeing how they like build up this universe. You find out that there's like a shady version of the same thing happening, but for like the rich. And so there's a little, commentary on that stuff. But it's really good. But I didn't finish it. and hopefully it ends well. But I assume it'll just roll into big game or something.
Yeah, I think. I don't really know. We'll see. But that is the pod. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
I don't know. What are we going to read next week?
We're going to read Secret Invasion, Nathan.
Holy shit, is that coming out?
Yeah, it comes out of time.
Dude, I thought it was like September.
No, it's June, dude.
Oh, dude, I love Secret Invasion. I can't wait.
June 21st.
Speaking of good events, this is one of them.
Dude, another Bendis one.
Back-to-back good events.
Do you know who the artist is off the top of your head?
Yes. One second.
I know. I just want to know if you know.
Fuck. It's not Lionel.
Yeah, it is.
It is Lionel?
Yep.
Yeah. Lionel Francis Yu. I was like, it's not Lionel, but the other one that I always get confused with him. But okay. I'm glad I knew that one.
Yeah.
Lionel Francis Yu. Mm-hmm. Nice. So smart.
So smart. So, yeah, that's the next Marvel show that's coming out. It comes out on the 21st. I think our episode will come out a couple days after that, but that's fine because it comes out weekly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. Lynn, thanks for coming on, and thanks for doing the extra studying so you can
So you can inform us.
Thanks for having us.
That's first time we've invited someone that knew more about something that we were talking about.
Yeah, it's very fun. I want it to happen more.
That's been my whole goal. I'm like, I just hope I say something they don't know.
Yeah.
So
you sure did.
I'm fulfilled.
Yeah, I was completely...
I'm going to sleep with a smile on my face. Yeah,
you out-nerded us on this one.
Yeah, we got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. TreyBearsPod@gmail.com. You can tell us what event you like.
The best.
The best event. Mm-hmm. If it's not Flashpoint, let us know. And
thanks, y'all.
That's it. Goodbye. Lynn, say bye.
Bye.